flow from his heart, just come, just spring forth this morning, Lord Jesus. And Father, let us receive his words, Lord, into that fertile soil in our hearts. Lord Jesus, bless him. And Lord Jesus, I just pray that you just fill him, Lord, with all that you are. In your mighty name, amen.
Thank you. Praise God. Well, it's good to be with you. I'm here with my wife, my beautiful wife, Michelle. And we've been married for 35 years now. So, and our baby, this is Jesse, our baby. He's a big baby now, but he's still a baby. When he was small, we used to call him baby, and he used to get mad at us. He'd, "Don't call me baby." So, but now he's nearly 19-year-old baby. And, but he's not a baby, you know, but he's our baby. So, all right, praise God. And, just to give you a bit of background, we've been in the United Kingdom for 7 years now. And we pastored a church in South Africa for nearly 20 years. We've planted about four. We ministered in America. Traveled and ministered a bit there, and we've been here. So we've been part of Jubilee for all this time, and watched their transitions, and then started building a relationship with Philip and Fiona recently. So praise God. So I'm really glad to be here and come and share the word with you. Amen. All right. So who's excited about the word of God? Okay, that's two of you. That's all right. Let's see what else I can find on you. Who is excited about the Word of God? Yes. Now that sounds better. I got saved in a guard tower in 1978. While I was doing military training. In a place called Bloemfontein. It was freezing cold. I was dressed in a big overcoat and balaclava and standing there with my rifle. I was guarding the runway and all by myself in the guard tower. I knew about God. I knew about the Word. I'd sort of grown up. My grandmother was a good Methodist and dragged me to Sunday school every week. And then I went to a boarding school that was very Afrikaans, Dutch Reform, and they drag you to church. If you don't go, you get spanked. So that was like, and you had to have quiet time twice a day because if you didn't, you got spanked. You had to go to your catechism kind of classes because if you didn't go, you got spanked. So it was generally sort of enforced upon you, you better go. So I grew up like that. But in 1978, while standing in the guard tower, very lonely, I was only 17 years old, had joined the military, we had to, and otherwise you got spanked, yes. So I was in the guard tower, and I just surrendered my life, really a real surrender to the Lord, you know, and I just surrendered my life to the Lord. And something happened to me because, you know, growing up feeling very insignificant about myself, insignificant about you know, low self-esteem, came from a poor home, so, you know, nothing sort of, but I knew inside of me that something wanted to be significant. I knew that God somehow, you know, was there for me. But the moment I gave a surrender to the Lord, I gave my heart to the Lord, something happened. Something, you know, that song, "Something Happened, and Now I Know, He Touched Me." Well, that was me. I was so excited, you know. And I went back to the dormitory, and I said to the guys, "You know what's happened to me?" And I thought they would all be excited, and they didn't. They all laughed at me, you know. But I didn't care. I became known as the preacher of the camp. I didn't know anything about the Word. I didn't know. All I knew was the Lord, that moment I surrendered, the Lord said to me, "Go into all the world and make disciples." I didn't even know where that was. I didn't even know where that was in the Bible. I found it later. But The Lord spoke that scripture to my heart, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. So that was my whole thing, go and make disciples. That's all I knew. So I would just go preaching, man. I would go into some of the dormitories in the military. These were like guys that were guard commanders, guard commanders. And what they did was, I mean, at night, that's all they did was roam around the camp with dogs, vicious dogs, big guns, vicious dogs, crazy guys, and all they did was work at night, sleep during the day. But to sleep during the day, they used to take downers and then have to take uppers at night to stay awake. And so these guys were a little strange, you know. But I would go in there and their rock music would be playing. I say, shut that stuff up. I want to tell you about Jesus, you know. And they would laugh at me, but I got to be known as the guy that preached to everybody. And then, you know, things began to happen. I met Michelle and slowly but surely we got to know more about the Word. We started attending a church that taught the Word, and I figured, wow, the Bible is actually, it's full of stuff, man. The stuff I didn't even know about, you know. And so we started learning, and that began a process. But for me, it was all or nothing. For me, there was no games to this. There was no half measures. There was no, when you've had nothing and suddenly Jesus comes into your life and he becomes everything to you, you know? And so to spend time with him every day was just like the biggest thing, to learn more, to grow more, to study and become more aware and get excited about something that was so much more than what I'd known, you know, so much more than what I'd grown up with. And I just became on fire for God. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and that now was something else. I mean, I could talk in tongues, language of angels, God, the Holy Ghost talking through, I mean, listen, I don't know, you know, I don't know what excites your wood, you know, but really, this got my fire cooking. I mean, I went into the mess hall, and the mess hall would be like all these guys sitting and having their mess meal, you know, in the military, and I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. What, in Michelle's mom's lounge, and her mom prayed with me, and I just started rebuking the devil, and while I'm rebuking the devil, I start speaking in tongues. Woof! And I was excited, man. I was so excited. So every day, I would get up and I would talk in tongues. This is incredible. I mean, you can do this. You can talk in a language that you don't have to learn. It just comes. Isn't that amazing? I'm talking to God. And then I found the scripture said, when you talk in tongues, you talk to God in secrets. Nobody understands this. This is awesome. So I get up, and my friend that been my friend, he's still my friend. We've been friends for like yonkers. But he was not quite as deep as me yet, you know. So I said to him, can I pray over the food today? And he goes, okay. And I stood up and I put up my hands. And I start praying over the food, man. This is awesome. And the whole mess is like, what is this guy about, you know? But I was so excited that I could, you know, I think sometimes we lose the beauty, the preciousness, the value of what these things are. You know, it's just like, okay, we got that, let's move on, you know? It's just like, what? I mean, you know, I'm just still me. I'm just like a simple guy, man. You know, I read things and I just, oh, man. Oh man, that is like awesome. But you know, we tend to sort of just move on, and okay, we got another rule and we got another thing and we do another thing, and maybe I'm just too old to get excited now. I don't think you should never get too old to get excited about the one I love, about the one you love. Amen. You should never get excited. It never should stop being excited about that, you know. Is that married 35 years? I'm still excited about Michelle. I want to be excited in the next 35 years, you know. I said to her, baby, You better be careful because I'm going to chase you all the time. You know? I'll tell her she's hot and crazy. She's crazy because she drives me crazy, but she's still hot, you know? And I still chase her, you know? But here's Jesus, and he's the lover of my soul, the one that's given me so much. I'm sure I can get excited about him. You know, I'm sure I need to stay excited about him. But you know what it is that we forget the things that are important, and we lose something of the beauty of spending time with him. In America, the guys used to come to me and say, you know, so what do you do to spend, you're so excited, you know, what do you do to spend time with God? I was like, I'm not going to tell you. And they go, what do you mean? I said, I don't tell you when I go to my wife in our inner chamber, I don't tell you what I'm going to do. And they go, oh, what are you talking about? I said, it's my love relationship. If I tell you, I don't go to Michelle and say, chapter 1, verse 2, here we go. Okay, baby, you know, kiss her on her big toe. You know, this is how we start. If I pull out the manual, she's going to go, I don't think so. You know, the romance is gone. Isn't that right? It's a love affair we're having. Amen? A passionate love affair. So when we meet with Jesus, we coming and spending time with him. You know, there's no formula to that, right? I know there's books written on all this stuff, you know, 10 steps on how to spend more time with God, you know? I just go, that's crazy. What has happened is we have to institute a routine when we've lost our love relationship with him. Then we need to, like some marriages, you know, they need to awaken their intimacy again and get romantic with each other. Hello? Amen? And we need to do the same with the Lord. Start spending time with him and start saying, okay, Jesus, I don't have a formula to this, but I just come to the lover of my soul. I just come to love you. I just come to spend time with you, you know, and just do what's in my heart to do. I mean, you know, if there's a 5-step formula to loving your wife, you better tell me quickly because then maybe I can eliminate the crazy and just get the hot, you know. I don't know. It's just like, but it doesn't work like that. Amen? So, okay. I'll tone it down. But I'm talking about Christ and his church. I'm talking about us, you know. So, anyway. Today, I'm supposed to be talking about spending time with God every day. Is that right? Something like that. Okay. So I thought about this, and I thought, okay, what can I tell you that will really inspire and ignite you? And you've got to just, excuse me, I'm like sort of not your normal kind of, I'm out there a little bit, and I really want to stir you, your passion, stir your heart for the Lord, and stir your love for him, you know, because I think everything flows out of that. Our ability to minister, you know, is an overflow of out of our love relationship for him, a love for his word, a love for him speaking to us. You know, is everything flows out of that. I just found that I've never studied homiletics and hermeneutics and harmonics and all of that stuff. You know, I don't know any of that stuff. The timelines and who wrote what, I really don't care. It just doesn't really matter to me. It's what Jesus is saying right now to me, to you, that matters. Amen. So, you know, great for the people that can do that. But I think sometimes we get so caught up in all of that stuff, we miss that intimacy with him where something gets ignited. You know, the more time I spend with Michelle in intimacy, the more ignited I am to spend time with Michelle in intimacy. You know, the more excited I am to just be around her, the more time we spend together. That's what lovers do. And then, the more it's time you spend with Jesus, the more he invests into you and the more you invest into your relationship with him, the more it becomes beautiful to do. And people then love to be around you simply because you're just full of God. You can't help it. You know, there's no formula. I don't know. You know, we grew up with this, like 5 steps to that and 10 steps to this and 15 steps to that. And, you know, and I worked so hard. My Bibles used to have all these steps, you know. And it never worked because I'd get to step 1 and forget the rest. You know, or you go through all 15 steps and you arrive at 15 and say, I need to get to 15 so I can get this thing. But who's found out it doesn't work like that? Anybody found out it doesn't work like that? All right. It's just a love relationship with Him. So today I want to just share three points with you, really, to just emphasize this, because I'll just talk and talk. And so here we go. So if you have your Bibles, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, each point I'm going to share today is like a whole lot of stuff on its own, but I just really want to ignite some key things with you. Is that okay? You all right? You all happy? Nod your head, smile, just say I'm happy. Even if you're not, just I'll feel much better if you do, you know? Just makes me feel. No. Hallelujah. You got it? Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Before I read this, let me say this. We're living in a world and a time where it's not easy. It's not easy to live this life in the natural. To just be Christian, you know, it's not an easy thing anymore. However, when it comes from within, it's very easy. You can't help it. And so, that's really what I want to focus on this morning. Verse 10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. I think sometimes we're too strong in ourselves. We're too strong in our own abilities and our own thinking and our own knowledge and our own, you know, procedures and processes and things. We're too strong in that. We're not strong in the Lord. And the word strong there actually is from two words. It's the word enduo, I think is how you pronounce it. But it means en is like to place yourself. And then it's from the word dunamis. So it's enduo or something like that. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But it's like to place yourself in His miraculous ability. To place yourself in His miraculous ability. And then it goes on to say, in the Lord and in the strength, and that word strength there is in the dominion of His force. In the dominion of His force. God told Adam to have dominion over all the works of His hands. And so there's something about when you come in, and He says this finally. When He says finally, it means, listen, at the end of everything that I've said in this letter, and He was talking to the most up-to-date, like, moving church there was at that point in time. If the church of Ephesus was like the place, you know, it was like the Hillsong, you know, of the world at that point in time. It was like the thing was happening there. And so, but He says, I told you all this stuff, but finally, finally, be enabled and be empowered in the dominion, in the miraculous, in the supernatural force of God. You've got to be strengthened, empowered in that. Get into that place. And so, the first thing I want to say to you, let's go on to verse 11. Put on the full armor of God, He says, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Now, let's just stop right there. You know what I notice a lot now in church is we don't talk about the devil. We don't talk about the devil. In fact, we talk so little about the devil, you don't even think he exists anymore. Well, Jesus spoke about the devil often, dealt with him often. We still have an enemy called the devil. We do. We have an enemy of our faith, an enemy of our walk, an enemy of the church, and it's called the devil. Hello, he's there, he's around, he's got your number. You can't ignore him, and he'll ignore you. The day you said, Jesus, He's got your number. You were born into conflict. Every day you wake up in a conflict zone. And you know what? You can go, well, listen, if I don't read my Bible, I don't pray, I don't go to church, and I don't worship, and I don't sing songs, and if I don't do anything, then maybe he'll just go away. No, he won't go away. He's got your number. Because you know what? You know what he sees when he sees you? He sees God. He sees light. He sees family of God. He's your enemy, period. It doesn't matter how passive you become about it. He's still your enemy. All right? Are you with me? Okay. So Paul says here, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. You've got to be dressed. You've got to be dressed right so that you can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, listen to this, is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. It's not against people. It's not in the natural, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm therefore. So the first point I want to bring out here to you is that whether you like it or not, you need to be aware that there is a spirit realm. That's the first thing. Now, this is now again something that I notice is that the church has become so natural in its function. And I'm talking about not the institution, I'm talking about us, the church. Okay, we are the church. You understand that? We turn to somebody and say, "You are the church." Come on. Okay, let's try that again. Turn to somebody and say, "You are the church." Tell them. Come on, tell them you are the church. See, we're not going to church. We are the church going to meet, right? Okay? So in the mornings you go, we're not going to church. We are the church. We're going to meet the rest of the church. Okay, does that make sense? All right, it's technicality, I know, but you know, it just helps you shift that paradigm a little bit. All right, but within the context of the church, what happened is another thing I noticed is that people have forgotten that we're dealing with a spirit realm. There is a spirit realm. We're trying to do war things. We're trying to change things in the flesh, in flesh and blood, in with people. In the natural, you can't change things in the natural. All right? So if to have walk with God every day, to walk in the Spirit every day, you've got to know. That's the first place you start. You've got to know that there is a spirit realm. And you are a spirit being. Oh. You are? Okay, you don't believe me. Go to 2 Corinthians quickly. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm just saying these are things that you need to be conscious of as you spend time with God every day, as you're walking with God every day. Because, you know, look, we're trying to understand what's going on around us by what we see in the natural. It's not just natural. There is a spirit realm. We're born into that spirit realm. The devil is not a physical person. The devil is a spiritual being. And you know, that scripture about the different forces, authorities, powers, principalities, all of that. I mean, there's just like loads in there. But it's needless to say, each of those forces there have an influence within where we live. And so to live effectively, to live victoriously, to live this Christian walk successfully, maturely, to live with impact and influence ourselves, we need to be aware of this. And we need to be aware of who we are and what we bring into the world. You walk into the shopping mall and you think, yes, you know, just good looking me, looking at yourself in the shopping windows. My hair is okay today. Ooh, you know, there's so much more than that. You've arrived as light of God, righteousness of God. You've arrived as a temple of the Holy Ghost, walking in the mall. Things, devils, demons, spiritual realm is noticing you. They notice you. You didn't think of that, did you? When you wake up in the morning, is the devil going, oh goody, is another one to bash up, or is he going, oh God, you're getting up again? What are they saying about you? You know, because you've got to understand, we're dealing with things in the spirit realm, not in the natural. Sometimes we look at things in the natural and go, it's not working. Why is my life so tough? Why did this happen? But we don't understand that there is a realm that we are not conscious of. There's things happening. There's cause and effect. There's things happening in the spirit realm. There's things that I do that affect the spirit realm, but there's things in the spirit realm that affect us. Affect our church. Affect our community. Affect what we do. Affect Emmanuel. And you know, we can all stand here and stump up and down and say, Philip, get this thing right. What's the matter with you, Philip? I mean, you know, it's like, we just like nice people. Get it right, Philip. But you know, and Philip's going, I know there's something wrong here, but it's not the people. Yeah, there's more going on here. And it takes all of us beginning to walk with God and beginning to realize this, that we begin to affect things. Have a look in chapter 5, verse 1 of 2 Corinthians. It says, for we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, okay, an earthly, that's this, yeah, earth, earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What is he talking about? He's saying, when this body of yours puts down, dies, is laid down, you have a building of God, eternal in the heavens. You have something that God has built. All right? You still here? You've gone home already. You still here? Okay, just checking. All right. So, and look in verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Who's he talking about? Who's he talking about? Should I read that slower? Therefore, if any man is in Christ. Who's in Christ here today? Who's in Christ? Okay. If any man is in Christ, that's man or woman, so you know, he's a new creature. He is a new creature or a new creation. Okay, when you got saved, did anything change on the outside? Huh? Now, hopefully you changed from going to, I mean, just hopefully, you know. But other than that, if you were skinny, you stayed skinny, right? If you were fat, you stayed fat. If you were bald, you stayed bald. You know, it's just like nothing changed on the outside. What changed? You became a new creature. What changed? The inner man, that building of God, that became a building of God, a new creature. And old things, so your past, your sin, the old life, all the effects of the old life all passed away. And everything became new. And everything is of God, it says. So God became the source of you. That is your spirit being. When you became born again, you were born on the inside, not on the outside. That's what Nicodemus said. How do I do that? You know, I've been born of my mother once, and I can't do it again. You know, it's just like, he didn't understand that. But we understand now is that you are a new creature in Christ. Your spirit man is born again. You totally brand spanking new. But what is he talking about? The real you. It's a spirit being. So you are a spirit being operating in a spirit realm, but living on the earth. So what you're sitting in right now is your astronaut suit. It's your earth suit. It's what keeps you here. You see, but we try and figure everything out from this earth suit point of view. And the earth suit, you know, it just operates in the earth things. So you are limited with your earth suit to what you can see, what you can hear, what you can taste, what you can feel. You don't get any more than that. But there's so much more. That's what Paul is saying in Ephesians 6. There's so much more. And the only person that can reach that is the spirit man, you, the real you. So when you become conscious of that, you see, now, then it becomes a lot funner, if that's a word. It is now. It is now. It's Sean Smith's word. It becomes a lot more fun. So, you know, when you because now you have a focus. It's like to keep this body healthy And it's like really healthy. I mean. So I train and eat and chocolates. So Jesse, don't pull such a disgusted face at me. I said to him the other day, I said, I look so good because mom's been bodybuilding me for 35 years, man. She's worked hard at this body and look at it. It's just, anyway, so let's not get carried away here. All right, so what was I talking about? I got sidetracked there. Earth suits, I don't know. Oh, so yeah, to keep this body good, you eat healthy, you exercise. Well, we're supposed to, and you know, and we exercise, we eat healthy, not chocolates, and you know, so you look after the body, and when you exercise and you stretch, your body is healthy. But what are you doing with your spirit man? What are you doing with your spirit man? Your spirit man is the one that's got to deal with all this stuff. What are you doing with your spirit? Are you training your spirit man? Are you feeding? How are you nourishing your spirit man? What do you nourish your spirit man on? The real you, the you that God has created. What nourishes that? The Word of God. See, you got to fall in love with this. But you know, people read the Bible. Oh, I'm going to read the Bible again because the pastor said so. I mean, church told me if I don't read my Bible, then God doesn't like me. So I better read my Bible. So I read. Now he who prepared us. Oh gosh, I'm bored already. What's on Facebook? It's more exciting, these videos on Facebook. Oh, look what they're doing. Instagram. And then we forget. But if we understand that we are spirit beings, operating in a spirit realm, then suddenly the Word of God becomes critical, becomes essential. It becomes the thing valuable. It's the thing that feeds you. It's God speaking to you. That was an incredible thing to me. He said, you know, this is just a book. It's not holy ink. It's not a holy cow leather. It's not holy paper. It's just paper, ink, and you know, you can put it on the shelf and it'll do nothing. Have you seen those movies where they take out the Bible and they hold it at the devil, you know? It's like, I got you, devil. The devil doesn't care about a book. It's when the new creatures in Christ take it, read it, speak it, believe it and speak it and act on it, suddenly all hell begins to fear. All hell trembles because somebody is taken God's word, God, not just any word, God's word, and began to act on it. And live like it's really, really real. And that spiritual force, that's strong in the Lord and in the dominion of His force. Suddenly, you become dangerous. Even in Cliff Woods. Do you know that you can be dangerous in Cliff Woods? Wow. Did you know that? Did you know the devil is also in Cliff Woods? There's also a spiritual realm here. No, it's not just in Sydney, Australia, where Hillsong is. And now the devil doesn't just run after, you know, Pastor Houston, whatever his name is. What's his name? First name? Can't remember. Anyway, Pastor Houston. You know, because we think, oh, well, as long as they're doing stuff, then the devil will be occupied over there. Don't have to worry about us. No, God wants to use Emmanuel. God wants to use you. You are Emmanuel. You know, you are the children, the sons of God. So God wants to use you in the midst of all of this. And you're the spiritual beings operating in a spirit realm. So I've already covered my second word, which is you've got to spend time in the Word. Because the Word is the connector between you and the supernatural. Let me say this to you. I was sharing this with Michelle and Jesse yesterday. Is Christianity is not a bunch of rules. Christianity is not even a bunch of processes. And Christianity is not just a relationship. You know, we use this, it's not religion, it's relationship. And that's a nice cliche. People don't have any clue what that means. You know, if you talk to anybody out there and say, Christianity is a relationship, they go, oh, really? Yeah, we see you guys all hanging out together. Have no clue. But what it is, you see, is that Christianity is a new creature in Christ, full of the life, full of the nature and full of the ability of God. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are full of God today. Come on. Say this with me. I am a child of God. I am a new creature in Christ. And I'm full of God's life, God's ability, and God's nature. Amen? Take out your phone. Have you got your phone? Take out your phone. Go to contacts. Open contacts. Huh? Yeah, I'm telling you, it's just like, I haven't got time to waste. Just take out your phone. Open contacts. And I'm not going to give you my telephone number. Then you write in there, God's address. And then you put double dot, colon, semicolon, colon, and you write there, in me. And you put it into your phone because then you remember. Because that's what it takes every day to walk in the Spirit. Every day. We sing, God is with us, and that's great. But we're always sort of striving that God is out there somewhere. Somewhere God is. And God is for us. We know that. You know, that's awesome, but we sometimes forget that. But, you know, we know God is for us. We know God is with us. But we forget the fact that God is in us. If you want to know God's address, is you are a temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple of God's glory. It's left the temple, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. It's now in you. God is in you. The glory of God is in you. I know I'm repeating myself, but I'm really wanting to emphasize this with you because, you know, something as simple, I could have come today and played you a CD and said, these are three steps, and what you'd have to do is get up and have 10 minutes of worship, 10 minutes of reading a Bible, and 10 minutes of prayer. And then you'll be a good Christian. No, you won't. You'll be another legalistic Christian. But when you know God is inside of me, and you're full of God, you know, because we're trying to get full of God, but God is full in you. You can't get any more of God than you've got. Wow. There's no more of God that you can get. You are full of God. And so when you become conscious of these things, then suddenly you begin to live that spiritual Christian walk, and it begins to affect people around you and begin to change the city around you. So those are three things that I wanted to share with you. One, you're a spiritual being living in a spiritual realm. Two, you need to feed that spirit and strengthen yourself with the Word of God, living in a supernatural realm. You're not just natural people, you're supernatural. Do you understand that? You're full of God. You are God's address now. When you walk out that door now, well, not just when you walk out the door, as you sit here right now, you are a new creature full of the life, nature, and the ability, the dominion, the force of God. The creator of the universe. You know, if I just can see a miracle, if I can just see a blind eye open, a deaf ear open, I'm looking at the greatest miracle that can take place ever in the imagination of man. I'm looking at it right now. Because every one of you that put up your hand and said, yes, I am in Christ, that is the greatest. So what happened was the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead came inside of you and made you a brand new person. Inside of you. That is incredible, incredible, amazing. Just, I don't know what words to use for it. Just amazing. Miracle. You're such supernatural beings. And we live these like little half-baked lives. And we go, well, you know, I just hope I make it, Philip. I hope I get through this life. And I hope our church just is okay, you know. And so, you know, really? Come on. You know, you are a powerful people. Sons of God, full of God, new creatures in Christ. Let the devil tremble because of Emmanuel, you know. Let the devil tremble because you wake up in the morning. Because you're full of God. But you know what it is? It's just knowing it. That's all. You just got to know it. He just doesn't want you to know it. But when you know it, that's when he fears what you can do. Amen? All right.